You're listening to Out of Bounds with Daily Bruin Sports here on UCLARadio.com. Daily Bruin Sports is your ultimate source for UCLA athletics, and Out of Bounds provides you with an in-depth look at the UCLA sports scene like nobody else can. Here are your hosts, Andrew Erickson, Kevin Bowman, and Jason Dranch.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Out of Bounds with Daily Bruin Sports here on UCLARadio.com. I am Daily Bruin Sports football beat writer, Andrew Erickson.
And I am Daily Bruin Sports editor, Kevin Bowman.
Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I am completely exhausted. I'm kind of up against the ropes. I'm hoping you kind of carry the show for me.
Yeah, don't count it. I'm kind of sick.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, great.
We'll see.
You know, we're not off to a great start right now, so okay. Just
move past it.
All right. So last week we talked about You Better Be Right. We finally reintroduced that to our show after kind of a brief absence. I think it was about a couple weeks there. And we tried to guess the spread, and we didn't really understand how it works. So we both guessed the same spread for the Utah game. We both guessed a spread of 14 points. I don't really know why we did that, because it made doling out the punishment for You Better Be Right that much harder, but technically, by some weird aggregate rule where you were a total of 10 points off for both teams' scores, you guessed 38 to 24, I guessed 31 to 17, and the actual score is 34 to 27. You, sir, are the victor, and I'm at your mercy right now. So
yeah, I spent the last like 10 minutes trying to come up with something to punish you with.
Yeah.
None of them are really appropriate. So you are a Tigers fan.
Yeah.
You grew up, I mean, I don't know, you claimed to have grown up in Detroit at some
right.
point.
Right. I have an 8 Mile poster in my room. That's a true story.
Anyways, I think, did the Tigers win today? Wait, no.
They lost.
Okay, yeah. Basically, your punishment is to just, like, claim that the A's are going to win.
Okay. I believe, is there any context to that or anything?
I don't know. You can do with it what you wish.
The A's, I think the A's have a decent chance of winning the series. As objectively speaking, not as an A's fan, not as a Tigers fan, I think the A's have a decent shot of winning the series. I think, you know, I don't know that Sonny Gray is going to pitch again, but he pitched great against Justin Verlander. But then again, you're going to be going up against Max Scherzer in Game 5 if it goes to Game 5. So I think if the A's can take it in 4, they take it in 4, but if it goes to 5 games, I think the Tigers have it. So I kind of just ruined your punishment a little bit there, but I no shame. No shame when it comes to my time.
I mean, it was a terrible punishment, so whatever.
We'll have to live with it. So now we'll, to kind of move on from this, we'll move into the Westwood Week in Review. Breaking a 0-0 halftime tie, the UCLA women's soccer team scored 2 goals in the second half to defeat the Washington State Cougars at Drake Stadium to improve to 10-1, Kevin.
And that was the Cougars' first loss in the year. They're undefeated heading into that game. So.
Wow.
Women's soccer is looking impressive so far.
The women's soccer dynamo that is Washington State. I didn't know they were that good at any sport, but it's impressive.
Number one men's water polo team improved to 15-0 on the year with a 17-2 beatdown of UC San Diego over the weekend. The Bruins have now outscored the Tritons 33-8 this season.
Yikes. Yeah, I don't know what you say to a team after you've just lost in 2 games by a combined 33-8. Like, what do you say?
If you're, get them next time.
Next time, there won't be no next time. That's what Eminem said one time. Getting back with the 8 Mile thing.
Of course.
And UCLA women's volleyball fell in 3 sets to Cal on Friday night. The Bruins are now 9-5 and still have not recorded a win in Pac-12 play. Kevin, is this a sign of trouble coming up for the UCLA Bruins?
They looked better on Friday, so I've heard from, I believe, Ane was at the game, our writer. I mean, they lost. They got swept. But it was not less bad of a sweep than the one on Wednesday to Stanford.
That's like saying the Jaguars only lost by 3 touchdowns this time. Like, we didn't lose by that much. Getting over that hump of winning,
well,
I think, is still a big
one.
Big
one
thing.
Of the, I think the second set was, it went to, I don't know, extra, what's the phrase, like when it goes to past 25. It was like 27-27 at one point. So it was like overtime for volleyball in the set. I don't know. But, I mean, it was each set, well, some of the sets were kind of close. So, I mean, they're not looking good, but it could be worse, I suppose. I don't know. Men's soccer scored in the 89th minute, actually.
Okay. I thought it said with 105 left.
Yeah, because there's...
So technically.
That's the 89th, because in the 90th
would be right,
the final
right.
minute.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. So. There's an error, as Kevin liked to so graciously point out.
Okay. Men's soccer scored in the 89th minute in its Pac-12 opener on Saturday to defeat San Diego State 2-1. Yes, San Diego State is in the Pac-12 in men's soccer. The Bruins are now ranked number 10 in the country. So it's Victor Chavez with the goal there. And...
That was German for a great highlight.
What?
You ever seen Anchorman? I'll tell you when you're older. Number 12, now number 11, UCLA football defeated Utah 34-27 on Thursday to improve to 4-0 for the first time since 2005. The Bruins are at home this weekend versus Cal. I was at this game, and it was kind of a weird game, right? So this is a game that I guess old UCLA maybe would have lost, but it kind of had those feelings of the game 2 years ago where there was snow in the air. They kind of played a little flat. They didn't really have the greatest game in the world, but they came out with the win, and now they're still undefeated. So, I mean, they take away the fact that it's a win, but it really wasn't their greatest showing of all time.
Yeah, it wasn't really. I mean, especially when you factor in, like, they got 6 interceptions in the game, and then they didn't really turn that into anything. Brett Hundley looked okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He had a great first half. Absolutely had a great first half. So you think he was, what, 10 of 12 for 175 yards and a touchdown?
And then 36 yards in the second half, I think.
Yeah, he had never had a first half like that all season. Just was on point, hitting every single throw. And then all of a sudden, he takes a handoff on the first offensive play for UCLA in the second half. It's a 3-yard gain, comes up, loses a contact, whatever. Yeah. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. We can talk about that another time. But yeah, he comes out. Jerry Neuheisel, you know, completes a 3-and-out for UCLA, and then he really wasn't the same. He had the touchdown run, of course, that kind of sealed the game for UCLA, but yeah, it wasn't the same Brett Hundley from the first half to the second half, for sure.
Yeah, and really, you saw it with his pick six that he threw. It was
one
of the ugliest plays I've seen UCLA have all this year.
Like,
he did a fake handoff and then like turned around and just like threw it, and no one was there except Utah.
And it kind of looked like a throw he would have made last season. And granted, it was kind of in a high pressure moment.
Yeah,
they were screaming at his back, and it was a tough moment. But you know, he needs to know to run out of bounds and throw the ball.
Especially in a situation like that, that tied the game
right
in the fourth quarter. Was it fourth quarter or was that third quarter?
First minute of the fourth quarter.
Okay, so yeah, that was a not great timing and not a great play. So,
but he still got the game-winning touchdown, so for that, he got his team the win. And there were also a few major injuries in this game. Jordan James was not as serious. It's just an ankle. Looks like a sprained ankle. X-rays came back negative. But Torian White will be going down for the rest of the season. And so, Jim Moore actually talked about that after the game, so we have a clip of that.
Right now, it looks like Torian White is going to be out for an extended amount of time. He broke his ankle. It looks like he broke his lower part of his leg. I'm not sure if it's season ending or what, but you know, right now the plan is probably to go with those two freshmen playing next to each other, which is Alex Redmond and Caleb Benenach. And hard to do that. And they went in and they did a nice job tonight. It certainly affected Jake Brendel. You know, the question would probably arise with the snaps. We had a lot of low snaps. What we were asking Jake to do, because the two freshmen over there is make their calls for them. And and they were putting a guy on his nose, and when he'd look up to snap it, you know, it was difficult. So we'll get some chances to work at that this week.
Yeah, so you talk about Brendel kind of taking more responsibility and then the two freshmen offensive linemen coming in. I was watching this game on like a 3x6-inch, if that, little like box on
borderline,
a computer.
Borderline legal stream on a computer.
Borderline is questionable.
Yeah.
You were at the game. Can you just talk about how did these freshmen perform?
Well, you could tell. I mean, and I guess Clem said it best after the game, is that Alex Redmond's played so long in the starting spot that he's not really a freshman anymore at this point. So I think he's kind of surpassed that freshman role. And so maybe it's just kind of like a label. Oh, we have two freshmen next to each other. You know, that's like the superlative term for it. Like, oh, it was two freshmen playing next to each other. But Benenach did look like he was a little bit overmatched. And I don't know that it's, you know, he's definitely a skilled player. I mean, he wouldn't be in the starting lineup if that wasn't true. But he just recently made the switch to tackle. He had been a right guard all throughout camp, all throughout summer, and now they're expecting him to kind of take on this offensive line. And it might take a little bit of time for him, and I think it might be, you know, good for him that he'll get some experience against Cal this weekend. But against, you know, Stanford and Oregon are not going to let up on him, and there's no transition period whatsoever. So I think that part is a little bit harder for him, and like Mora said, it did have an impact on Jake Brendel, who had to take on a ton of responsibility, and his snaps suffered as a result.
Yeah, and Redmond kind of, Benenach was projected to be the starter at right guard starting the year. Redmond kind of won that over in the final week of training camp.
Right.
You're kind of seeing now that Redmond kind of deserves that spot now.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a long time coming. Yeah.
But seeing them next to, they're playing next to each other, you kind of, you can see that more clearly.
And we also saw that the defense was kind of challenged over the top for the first time all season. Maybe second time if you include Nebraska a little bit in the first half. But they did well for all intents and purposes. They got their 6 interceptions against Travis Wilson. But even with those interceptions, there were so many 3-and-outs on the part of Hundley in the offense that Utah was able to stay in this game the entire time. They didn't really let go or anything.
Yeah, I think in the third quarter they had 3 of their interceptions, I think.
Yeah, 3 in the first 4 drives.
And they scored, 3 points in the third quarter?
Yeah.
So if you have 3 turnovers and you're getting 3 points out of it, that's not good. And usually UCLA has been strong in the third quarter. This is a different bit of a trend for them. So that was a bit concerning for them, I would imagine, if you get that many turnovers and you can't convert on them. But playing in tough conditions, as you mentioned, and that could kind of explain some of it maybe.
And I don't know that that's necessarily the defense's fault. I think, you know, they did the best they could, and they can't really control the fact that the offense was kind of stagnant for the second half. But Anthony Jefferson did talk after the game about kind of the mental prowess of this defense and kind of how they hung on throughout the entire game from start to finish.
Relying on my technique and trusting my teammates are going to be in a certain place and them trusting that I'm going to be in a certain place. So it wasn't like I was trying to do something out of the ordinary. It's just me just owning into the technique and owning into the defensive rules.
Even though you guys had the 6 turnovers that you guys had, it still seemed like you were facing a lot of adversity, you know, the injuries and the penalties. How were you able to overcome that, and you know, how ultimately effective do you think you guys were with that?
I think we just had to get the team together and let them know that we're all confident, you know what I mean? We're not worried. We didn't panic at all. So I think that was the adversity, us not panicking and us just really owning in to what we need to do, and that's tighten it down and make some plays.
Who's that guy with the really smooth voice that asked the question right in the middle? That guy, I want to be friends with that guy. He seems like a cool guy.
Oh, my God. I can't think about the response.
Anyway, Anthony Jefferson probably had his best game probably of his career in this game. He had 2 picks. He had a pass broken up, I think, on Utah's last offensive drive. So he kind of led that strong UCLA defensive effort, and I don't really see that changing against Cal this week. I think I don't mind. They're not going to get 6 picks, but it'll probably be a lot of the same.
Yeah, so it was really, as you mentioned earlier, one of the first tests downfield for the secondary, and I'd say they passed it. And we've talked about how UCLA kind of underwhelmed a bit with this performance, but at the end of the day, they got the win, which is actually UCLA's first win at Rice-Eccles Stadium since 1974.
Yep, it's very true. All right, well, Kevin, thank you for that. Thank you for that little tidbit. And we will be right back after this on Out of Bounds, Daily Bruin Sports, UCLAradio.com.
What do I say? What can I do? Will I know I gotta move on, but I'm stuck on you.
And we're back here on Out of Bounds with Daily Bruin Sports, UCLAradio.com. Kevin, I don't know a lot about Cal football. Do you?
I know a bit. I grew up Pleasanton, California. It's in the Bay Area. Both my parents went to Cal. I was a pretty huge Cal fan growing up. I wore Cal stuff every single day for 8 years. It's pretty embarrassing, but yeah.
Well, there is someone on the line that knows a lot more about Cal football than we do, and that is Michael Rosen of the Daily Cal, who is here to help us preview this upcoming Cal game. Michael, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Great to have you on the show. So we're going to ask you a few questions just about this Cal team in general. Just to start, I know we've been hearing a lot about some of the injuries they've had to the defensive backfield and some of these defensive backs. Can you talk a little bit about that and maybe some of the strengths and weaknesses of this team on defense?
Yeah, well, so going into the season, we expected McCain and Mustafa Jalil to make a very big impact in the front 7. Both were thought to provide interior and exterior pass rush, respectively. And both of those guys have had to play. Chris McCain's actually off the team now. So that's been, you know, a big hit to the defense so far. In the secondary, Devin McClure and Cam Jackson were supposed to be the 2 main quarterbacks. Both of those guys have disappointed greatly so far. Cam Jackson has been hurt for most of the season. McClure's been getting beat almost every single game. In this past weekend against Washington State, almost every single healthy defensive back went down, and I think the Cal Bears are now down to 3 healthy defensive backs. And so I would say the Cal defense, it's not a lack of talent right now. It's mostly just depth-wise, they're just completely depleted.
You have freshman quarterback Jared Goff playing. Can you talk about his progression as a quarterback and what you've seen so far? That, I mean, what makes him, what won him that starting job?
Yeah, well, so in the spring he came in. He enrolled actually in the spring a little bit early.
Okay.
He was thought to compete with Zach Klein, but going into spring camp, no one really thought of him as a serious competitor for the starting job. It was him, Zach Klein, and Austin Hinder. And honestly, no one thought it was going to be Jared Goff. It was either Klein or Hinder. And then going into fall camp, he actually impressed a lot, but still people were thinking it was probably going to be Zach Klein, and it was a surprise that he was named the starter. So people were very excited during the Northwestern game to see what he had. And he just surprised everyone. I think he threw for about 450 yards and a couple TDs. He had a couple pick sixes, but they were pretty fluky. And so people were very happy after the Northwestern game. He makes a few freshman mistakes every game. Usually he airmails a pick every once in a while, but so far it looks like the Bears have what looks like the makings of an elite quarterback.
Yeah, certainly early on it looks like he has that live arm, which you definitely want to see from a young freshman. But I'm kind of just moving on to Sonny Dykes, who brings a little bit of that Southern-style football to Cal, which is not out of place, but it's definitely a different part of the country. How, you know, just from your perception of being around him every day, how is he with the media and on campus, and, you know, how has he been embraced by this community, and is there any pressure on him right now?
Yeah, so in terms of his personality, he definitely has that kind of Southern hospitality, which is kind of a cliche you kind of associate with people from down there. He's very quiet, very mild-mannered. As it's been gone on, he's become very clearly more tired, more stressed, but he's very, very cordial with the media, much more so than his predecessor, Jeff Tedford, was last year, definitely. In terms of are people calling for him to get fired right now, I'd say there's two pretty solid camps. One, and it's definitely a minority, but a vocal minority, is people who are saying his offense is gimmicky, you can't run a defense that sits in the Pac-12, and we need to fire him at the end of the year. Most of the fan base is saying we need to give him time. He's been in, you know, he's coached for five games. His offense has been pretty dang successful compared to his predecessor. And he's had a successful defense in the past. And so I think generally the fan base is seeing Sonny Dykes as it's kind of a wait and see right now. I think after the Northwestern game, people were like, this guy might be the coach. But now it's a little cautious optimism, I'd say. Maybe a cautious pessimism instead.
And Dykes' first season, it's not really the easiest schedule to start off a season or a career at Cal at. He had one of the toughest schedules in the Pac-12. He had Northwestern, as you mentioned, Ohio State.
Even that rain game in Oregon, too.
Oh, true. Yeah, Oregon as well. How has the team handled these tougher games, and what are your expectations for Cal win-wise this year?
Oh, just win-wise in terms of win total for the entire year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking with this with fellow beat writers at Daily Cal. Honestly, right now, the only game I can see us winning is the Colorado game. Right now, our defense just looks too Steve-like to really stop anyone. Can't see the Bears holding anyone under 40 points for the rest of the season. So the Colorado game might be a win. And then, you know, there's always a random game. Like last year, Cal surprised UCLA and really blew them out at Cal. And so there might be a win like that lurking. But if I were to put an over-under on it, I'd probably say 2.5 wins for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the Cal-UCLA game from last year. I think it was 43-17 was the final score, and really Cal just jumped all over UCLA, really capitalized on all their mistakes. Do you sense these guys kind of amping themselves up in remembrance of that game a little bit?
Maybe. I'd say, well, the main factors in last game were Zach Maynard playing
Right. Literally
the game of his life. No other game in his entire Cal game, even close to the game he plays against UCLA. I think he was like 25 for 30, 300 yards, and 4 TDs. Like, Zach Maynard is
Right. Never
that accurate. And then Keenan Allen is gone. The whole team has turned over so many starters. And so maybe thinking, oh, yeah, back last year, you know, played really well. Maybe we'll play really well this year. I don't know. It's going to be like that. Right now, Sonny Dykes is staying. The team's top is completely demoralized. And I would expect this game to be a pretty bad blowout. I don't see the Bears putting up much of a chance in this one.
Do you see these guys are, you know, the players are kind of losing focus towards the middle? Or, I mean, you know, I know it's tough to, and UCLA's certainly had this in the past with the whole Kevin Prince era, but do you sense these guys kind of, like, losing hope as the season goes on? Or, I mean, what's the morale around this team?
Honestly, and then, you know, it's really the tale of two seasons here. Last year, I could definitely sensed that as the season was wearing on. Players were losing focus. But with the new coaching regime, I feel like there's some semblance of hope within the team that's making them, you know, kind of just give up, essentially, just quit on the coach. Last year, I think there might have been a little quitting on Jeff Tedford. And I don't really see that with Sonny Dykes. I've heard some rumors of derision in practice of some players yelling at coaches. But in terms of focus over the season, I think this is a group that's honestly just depleted health-wise, especially on defense. And that's really the cause of their struggles so far this season.
And you mentioned their injuries. You mentioned how you think they're going to get blown out by UCLA this weekend. Do you have an exact score or score prediction that you think it's going to be?
All right, my score prediction is Brett Hundley throws for 6 TDs and 52-21.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. UCLA is they're kind of a second half team, so I think they might surprise them a little bit and be that underwhelming team they've been so far in the first half, and then maybe pull ahead in the second half. But yeah, I agree with you in the second half. But we'll see. UCLA has a little underwhelming factor. But Michael, thank you so much for being on with you. And are you coming down to the Rose Bowl this weekend?
Yep, we'll be there.
All right. See you there. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yep. No problem.
All right, and that was Michael Rosen of the Daily Cal, and we will be taking a quick break. This is Out of Bounds with Daily Bruin Sports, UCLARadio.com. And we're back. This is Out of Bounds at Daily Bruin Sports, UCLARadio.com. Kevin, great guest.
Yeah, he was pretty informative. It was, I don't know, our last time we tried to do a phone interview, we had major technological difficulties, so...
Act like you've been there before with it being successful. You know what I mean? Just be like, oh no, we've done 50 of these interviews, they've all been great.
We have to be transparent to our listeners.
All right. Well, anyway, yeah, so hopefully you guys got a great preview of the Cal game coming up here. UCLA is favored by, I think, 23.5 points coming into this game. So it's obviously, you know, the team that's favored. Any close game of any sort would be somewhat of an upset. But Kevin, you were at UCLA basketball practice today, and we'll just talk about this very briefly. But, you know, we got a sense of Tony Parker was the guy that was disappointed last year. He was about ready to transfer, and then he got in shape. It seems like Steve Alford's kind of meshing with him a little bit. What's your sense of, you know, from being there the two practices, what's happening here?
Basically, what I get, I mean, they're not outright saying this, but, like, they're kind of implying it, that Tony Parker was kind of frustrated at the lack of a, like, personal trainer kind of last year. And Coach Alford made it a point when he first got hired to sit down with all the players and figure out what they wanted. And then he wanted to make these promises, make sure he kept these promises. So one of the promises he made was that they were going to get a men's basketball-specific trainer. And they did that, and Tony Parker worked out with this guy over the summer and ended up losing 25 pounds. So
wow.
Yeah, he's down to 256, I think.
Okay.
So he's in good shape. He looked good. And he said he was really happy to be here. Last year was perfect for him, though, he said, because he thought it was really important for him to experience that to kind of figure out how much he loved basketball.
Wow.
I mean, he sounds like he's happy to be here now. It was a rough year last year, but...
That sounds like kind of like a lyric to an Adele song. I think he's probably just listening to a lot of Adele and it's like, you know what? I can apply this to my basketball life. But and just real quick, the one that I'm really interested to see is Josh Smith at Georgetown. If he comes out and he's... I don't know if he's able to play this year. He might have to sit out this year.
I think he does.
But if he comes out next year and he's 50 pounds lighter and he's just dominating everybody in the paint and he's like an NBA-ready prospect... I think Ben Hallen's going to be sitting at home throwing his remote at his TV.
I mean, likelihood of that happening?
You never know. You never know.
I don't know. Is there good food in D.C.?
I don't know. I've been there once. So anyway, is there anything coming up this weekend, Mr. Sports Editor, specific to UCLA sports?
I mean, there's games every weekend.
Okay, well, a little bit more specific than that.
Let's see. What do we have this weekend? I know there's men's soccer plays Thursday. I think they play Cal on Sunday as well.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have the specifics yet.
All right. Well, you can tweet at Kevin Bowman to try to figure those things out. But we are out of time here, unfortunately. But we will see you next week. This has been Out of Bounds with Daily Bruin Sports on UCLARadio.com. Thanks so much.